Welcome to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. Whether you're a contractor, architect, designer, or building owner, we're here to help you build better with metal roofing and siding products.
Hello, I'm your host, Kathy Miller, and today we're thrilled to have Nick Fedeli with Metal Alliance on the show. Welcome, Nick.
Hey, Kathy, how are you? Nice to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you as well. So this is actually your second visit to the show. So in case some of our listeners missed your first interview with Todd, can you kind of remind us a little bit about where you're located, what you guys focus on, the markets you serve, et cetera?
Sure. So we are primarily an architectural sheet metal fabricator and contractor. We kind of serve the Philadelphia and New Jersey market, you know, Eastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey market for the most part. We're located just north of the city of Philadelphia. And we do all, you know, all types of exterior envelope work, primarily standing seam, you know, roofing, and a lot of wall panel work, ACM panels, rain screens, all that type of stuff. Really the only thing on the exterior envelope that we don't touch is flat roofing products, and then, you know, concrete work, block walls and that type of stuff.
Excellent. So as I like to say, you guys do all the fancy pretty stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what we're known for. We do a lot of historical restoration, and we tend to kind of pick up the stuff that, you know, most other guys kind of look at and go, ugh, that's probably a little bit outside of our, you know, comfort zone, or it's a little messy, or, you know, don't want to touch that. That's the stuff that we kind of get excited about.
Exactly. So historical renovations, I hadn't planned to talk about that today, but that's interesting. Let's talk about that for a minute. What kind of different challenges and risks and skill sets do you need for historic renovations?
Yeah, they tend to be a lot of copper work. And, you know, with that kind of comes a lot of soldering and kind of matching your historical, you know, details and kind of qualities and putting things back exactly the way that they were. One, you know, kind of funny story that I like to tell was we were doing an entire copper re-roof on a historical building in the city of Philadelphia. And we tore, you know, we tore the roof off and there was the ridge beam had kind of a sag, you know, in it. Mm-hmm. And we had to take the ridge beam out and we wanted to, you know, our plan was to go back with a steel, you know, ridge beam. The problem was steel can't sag and we had to make the roof sag again. So we ended up having to go back with a, you know, with a steel ridge beam and kind of set it a little bit lower and build it up with wood blocking to kind of get that tapered sag back in because that's the way the building was. So you get kind of, you know, funky stuff like that you see, you know, we kind of see all the time and we've just kind of become used to it. But, you know, those are some of the things that with a historical restoration, they just, while you kind of understand it, it sometimes just makes you scratch your head and go, whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, every project without a doubt is different in that case, right?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you guys get your start in business? Remind our listeners of that in case they missed the first episode.
Yeah, so we've been around. The company was started in 1993. I was not the founder back in 1993. That was, you know, Rich Cicelli. Richie, he was the former owner. He had a partner. They were, you know, sheet metal workers by trade. And they, you know, started the business and kind of, you know, grew it from 1993 until, 2021. And I bought the business from Richie in 2021. He still, you know, is pretty active with us. And, you know, we work together by choice at this point. So, you know, we've been around, like I said, I guess it's 32 years now. And started really with a lot of that historical restoration work, you know, in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a very big, you know, absolutely, historic city and tons of copper work and, you know, tons of monuments and, historical landmarks and all that type of stuff. So, it was a great place, you know, kind of for them to start. And it started with that stuff and then kind of, you know, took off from there.
Wonderful. Yeah. I can only imagine. I haven't been to the city, before to tour it and look at a lot of those sites, but it's definitely on the list. So.
Yeah. It's definitely, you know, a cool place. If you get the opportunity, let me know if you wind up here and we'll take you and show you some, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've done. Our fingerprints are kind of all over. Yeah. They're kind of all over a lot of the landmarks down there.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have to make that happen. So today specifically, we wanted to kind of dive in and kind of just do a project discussion on something cool that you guys have done lately and talk about, you know, why metal was chosen, how the job went, how you approached it and why. And so I think you had said you maybe wanted to talk about the Bucks County Community College today. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So fill me in. Let's start with kind of what's the use of the building?
So it is a, it's an educational building, you know, at a community college, lots of classrooms and, you know, and that type of stuff. And it had an old, you know, kind of slate tile roof on it, terracotta that was, leaking, you know, pretty badly. And there was, they had kind of, you know, come to us and asked, they had some thoughts in mind. They wanted to do, you know, either a standing seam aluminum roof or a standing seam zinc roof. Steel was not in kind of their, thought process, primarily because of, you know, I think some of the prevailing belief that's out there that steel doesn't have the same warranties as aluminum. It rusts and it corrodes and all that type of stuff. So that's kind of how the conversation started, with them was, you know, hey, can you guys do a zinc roof or, you know, kind of an aluminum standing seam? And we had said, yeah, sure, we can. But why don't you think about, you know, a steel standing seam roof? They're comparatively, you know, just as good as aluminum, if not better. It's better for your use case than zinc. And it's more cost effective. And we had kind of, you know, partnered with you guys, and pitched them on the 238T. You know, 24 gauge steel, with the, you know, all the warranty you get, the weather, you know, long warranty, all that type of stuff. And ultimately, you know, we were able to, you know, show them that a steel 238T was without question, you know, the best, option, you know, for their kind of use case.
So it's great that you were able to be a consultant to them, right, in that case. And you know, a few things come to mind, right? So, you know, you mentioned, and they're not, you're not wrong that a lot of people believe aluminum is a superior product. But interestingly, when you're talking with them, what kind of warranties, let's talk substrate warranties. What do you offer like on a stainless and aluminum versus like a Galvalume steel?
The warranties are pretty, you know, comparable. I think, There's this thought that we see very often, and I think it's kind of baked into, you know, the psyche up here in the Northeast is that everybody needs to do aluminum because of the salt air. And if you look at the warranties on, you know, the Galvalume products, and, you know, I can speak to, you know, your guys' stuff in particular, the call out is within like 300 yards of breaking surf. Which is very, 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 very minimal when you look at, you know, the applications that we're talking about. And we hear, you know, we hear people say, oh, I need an aluminum roof because, you know, of the salt air. And these, there's people who are like 35 miles from, you know, breaking surf. And it's like, you know, then it becomes an education process where we say to them, you know, got it. I understand that's, you know, kind of, that's what most people believe, but here's actually the facts. And most people are fairly, when you get the opportunity to have that conversation, most people are actually fairly receptive to that. I think it's just, it's a misconception that's pretty, you know, widely out there, that, you know, you can't do steel because those old rusted roofs that you see all over the place that are all metal, like that's steel and that's what happens with steel. And it's, you know, there's an education process that has to go on to kind of let people know that that's not. That's not the same thing that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's a great point. Back in the day, you know, that was straight galvanized, right? And the Galvalume technology is a combination of zinc, but also the aluminum. So you get the strength of one property and the sacrificial barrier of another. And that's really why, as manufacturers, we're able to offer 50 and 60 year warranties, you know, on the substrate. So it really has come a long way as a product that has a lot to tell. So, one of the other things we find too, Nick, is that people even in direct hurricane application areas are still going ahead and moving away from aluminum and to a Galvalume steel just because of the difference in uplift, right?
Right.
You know, the steel is going to perform so much better in high winds that, you know, aluminum maybe would last longer with corrosion, but it's not going to stay on the roof as long, right? Because of the uplift.
Exactly.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword there. So I'm interested, sure. Why did they weren't interested in going back to slate? So let's kind of hop back to the beginning. How old was the slate roof? It's unusual, you know, for them to have a short lifespan, right?
Yeah. I don't know the exact age, but it's old. I mean, the college has been around a long time. I believe it's the original roof. Slate anymore, I think is, you know, it's a very difficult product to get a lot of people to work with. Like there's mm-hmm. just not, you know, it's very expensive one, and there's not a whole ton of people who are going back, you know, and I'll say, you know, doing slate with the level of craftsmanship that was done, you know, 70, right. 80, you know, years ago. So we do see fairly often there's a push to go away from slate, away from tile, and go to something that, you know, still is aesthetically pleasing. I think a lot of people don't want to tear off slate and go to shingle, you know, or just asphalt shingle. You're taking a really nice architectural quality away from the building and replacing it with like slop. Whereas going to a standing, you know, standing seam or, you know, a metal roof, you are taking one architecturally, you know, appealing thing and replacing it with, at least in my opinion, something that is, you know, also architecturally appealing, which is also a lot more functional and a lot more practical.
Absolutely. And a lot lighter weight, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Slate's a really heavy product. And so you have to have a lot of infrastructure, right? As far as roof support and that to, you know, support it. And I think you're right. We've seen the same thing as steel products have increased their longevity, right? You know, there is a move to those kinds of products because we can offer, you know, there's 20 different styles of standing seam, right? I mean, you can even get some that look like slate, right? You can get one that looks like a shingle, et cetera. So lots of products out there. Okay. So you kind of helped them decide to go to a Galvalume product. How long are these panel runs, Nick? Are they short, long?
These were what I would consider to kind of be mid-range. I want to say they were somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 feet. I can't recall, you know, off the top of my head exactly, but for us, 20 foot is like short, and we consider long, you know, multi-hundred feet, yeah. You know, 100 feet plus, for us is kind of long. So they were in that kind of, you know, mid-range, you know, so, like, yeah.
Yeah. So 50 to 60, you know, is mid-range for you. But the other thing I think that I'm sure you're aware of is, you know, the coefficient of expansion, right? For aluminum.
Yep.
Even on a 50 to 60 foot panel, which is moderate, you're going to have a fair amount of expansion and contraction.
For sure.
So obviously you know a little bit about that. Talk to our listeners a little bit, if you would, Nick, about how that affects, if you were going with aluminum, what challenges that presents, you know, and how you can, how you have to account for that expansion.
Yeah. So I'll kind of talk to this one in particular. This roof was, it's a single slope. And there were dormers on the roof kind of, you know, scattered throughout. And we went back with a panel that, when it came down the roof and got to the dormer, we bent the panels. So you had one continuous panel from, you know, from the ridge all the way down across, you know, across the dormer. We didn't have to put, any flashing along the dormers. And that just would have become something that was untenable to do, you know, with an aluminum panel because of the expansion. Mm-hmm. there's a lot of kind of nuances to this roof in particular where, you know, there were stainless custom built stainless steel saddles that we had to put next to the dormers to, you know, funnel water away from kind of that rising wall and where you have some, you know, trim detail in there. So there was a lot of these kind of, it wasn't just a straight run where, you know, you didn't have to really worry about expansion and all that type of stuff. There's all these little quirks and you know, details that if you really have to take expansion, you know, into consideration, it just kind of breaks the whole thought process.
Exactly. Yeah. So you mentioned you guys chose the 238T. You know, talk to us a little bit about why you chose that panel, maybe other things you considered.
Yeah, we are a big T panel, fan, between the 138 and the 238. There's so many positive, you know, qualities to the T panel that, you know, if given a choice, that's kind of where we tend to gravitate to. You know, it's one that we like installing. You can start at any point and move left, move right. You can, you know, skip to, you know, come back later, flash in units and pick up, you know, on one side and keep running. You can cut a batten cap off and take a panel out, do repair work or whatever, put a new panel in and re-batten cap it. Like there's just so many good qualities, you know, to kind of these T-seam systems that, that was really, you know, that was the front runner without question.
Yeah. Hands down, it's amazing when installers get their first exposure to a non-handed panel or what we call a symmetrical versus, you know, left right. to right or an asymmetrical. And it is just night and day. You can put your best guy, you know, on a dormer, you know, have your other guys take and go run straight runs and catch back up. And so, and again, like you said, yep. even the repair or replaceability, right? You know, there's times somebody, a trade comes in after you, right? And messes up a panel, you know, and you haven't even turned it over to an owner yet and you can fix that. So
exactly.
it is a really cool system. Now, do your projects typically, Nick, have weathertight warranties or is that not something, an element that you end up facing a lot?
No, we do weathertight warranties, you know, fairly often. This project in particular did not have a weathertight warranty. However, we did wind up, towards the end, we actually had an inspector come in and do the inspection as if we would have had a weathertight warranty. That's something that we do every now and then, you know, for a customer just to show, you know, quality and all that type of stuff, even if the weathertight warranty was not something that they were interested in.
Well, that's a nice, you know, added benefit that you give people.
Yeah. It doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally we will do it.
All right. So let's talk, any challenges on the project other than what you already talked about, the dormers we touched on a little bit. Anything else that was noteworthy?
Yeah. So this was a concrete deck. And you know, it was like a terracotta system. So we had torn off down to the concrete deck and we went back with, a nail board, you know, with insulation and an ice and water shield. And then on those dormers, they were originally kind of pitched back towards the building, which was we kind of believe was creating a lot of the water penetration issues and all that type of stuff. So, on the dormers, we actually added additional tapered insulation to kind of change the pitch of those dormers away from the building to kind of just help with, you know, water, flowing in the direction that you would want the water to flow.
Exactly. You got a nudge in the other direction.
Exactly. So there were all these, you know, there was nothing crazy, you know, super crazy, but there was just all of these kind of details that, you know, when you've been doing this as a, you know, as an organization, and we have guys who've been here since day one, there's these all these random little things that, you know, they pick up on that they go, hey, I've seen this before. This is going to be a problem. Hey, we need to address this. And that just comes from kind of, you know, the institutional knowledge that you have and have kind of built over, you know, multiple decades, that I think, you know, a lot of contractors, if this isn't what you do, if you kind of do a whole bunch of different stuff, those are things that you just kind of don't pick up on.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that tribal knowledge, right? That feet on the roof, so to speak, is just hard to beat. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, employee retention, attraction, training. How do you guys handle all of that?
So we are very fortunate that we have I think I said this in my, you know, podcast with Todd, that I will brag on our guys all day long and I'll put them up against anybody in the business. I think we have the best crew out there. We have one funny story that I do tell is when we were going through kind of the, you know, the sale process, Richie and I had gotten a list of, you know, employee names redacted, but, you know, how with employee tenures and years that they started and all that type of stuff. And I remember saying, hey, can I have like an updated list? Because there's employees that say they've been here since like 1995 and it's 2000, you know, 21 or whatever it was. And it was like, no, this is the updated list. And I was like, oh, wow. Like that's just not something that you see, no. You know, very often. So I was under the original assumption that this list was like 10 years old. And it very much was, you know, was current. And almost all of those guys are, you know, still around. So we have had, you know, we've had really good, retention. We've got a lot of really skilled guys. We've got a lot of apprentices coming up who we've been really, really happy with. You know, so we're kind of, we refer to it as kind of like our youth movement, where we are, you know, very heavily investing in that next generation, you know, that's going to kind of come up and learn from, you know, the guys who've been around for a really long time, have, you know, the best skill set out there, in my opinion. And it's, you know, so far it's been working really well.
Well, kudos to you on several fronts, right? I mean, to retain employees that long is huge in itself, right? But also that, you know, pat yourselves on the back that you guys have recognized the need for the youth movement. And, you know, the trades in general haven't done a great job lately, right? Attracting people, right? And so for you guys to take a leading edge on that and then get them to kind of have, you know, the older guys bring them along beyond, you know, the apprenticeship is just absolutely fabulous. And I'm sure will bode really well for you guys going forward.
Yeah, it is without question. It is a team effort. That's not something you can do without, you know, really solid team all the way around, you know, in all aspects. It's not something that, you know, one person can kind of, you know, dictate or force. Like it's a culture thing. And, you know, that's a testament to, you know, everybody, you know, Richie, who, you know, originally owned the company, and the guys who he's had forever. It's just that culture was something that, you know, was already here. It's been here a long time. You know, I'm just the most current steward of it, but it's, you know, it's a well-rooted and, you know, kind of long-term thing.
That's a fabulous way to look at yourself as the steward. So not the boss, just the steward of continuing, right? Well, especially, I think, considering that you do so much historical building work. I mean, you're, you know, the exposure, right, and the risk if your guys were to do something wrong is greater than, you know, not to say someone's home is not important, right, but you're just working at an elevated level there. So you mentioned earlier, Nick, that in this particular project at Bucks Community College that, you know, you were dealing with a concrete deck and you did your tear off. So talk to us a little bit, and I realize it may be different for different projects, but how do you decide your approach? You know, is there structural engineers involved, architects? You just sometimes do design build stuff where owners just come to you.
Yeah, it is, you know, take your pick. Every job is, you know, is very much, you know, a different thing. We do work with engineers. We do work with architects. We do, you know, design build. We do design assist. We oftentimes, you know, will lean on, Charlie and, you know, a lot of the McElroy team for, you know, hey, here's this issue that we have. And we have a very, you know, collaborative relationship where, we kick around ideas and say, hey, you know, and even try and raise issues that we think maybe might be an issue, but let's just talk about them so that they're kind of out there and, you know, we've kind of addressed them. So our preference is to be involved as early as humanly possible. You know, if we can get involved with an architect or an engineer, you know, early in, you know, in the project, or with a general contractor on a design build or an owner, if it's something, you know, it's not a kind of a ground up thing and it's more just a roof replacement. Those things make projects go a lot better. You know, you can kind of, we have the benefit of being the installer and having seen a ton of this stuff. So we know what goes together well and what on paper kind of sounds great and looks great in a drawing. But when you actually get to trying to make that happen in real life, like it just doesn't, it doesn't work that way. So to the extent that we can work, you know, collaboratively with architects, engineers, roof consultants, designers, whoever, those projects tend to have the best outcomes for sure.
Absolutely. I think it really goes to that concept of a team, right? And everybody brings a different frame of expertise. And when people can respect each other's knowledge and then trying to find that common solution, it usually ends up better off. And I know at McElroy, we're thrilled to be, you know, part of your team and part of your solutions. And Charlie's a guy that we all lean on heavily for sure. So.
I could do a 60-minute podcast just singing Charlie's praises, but I think we'll save that for another episode.
I was going to say, if we do that, it'll go to his head. But yeah, maybe we'll have to do that on another show. So, well, let's talk about the feedback to your project a little bit. How, you know, anything from the owner? How did they feel? How about the community? Any?
Yeah, I think they've been, you know, they've been pretty happy, with it. I think, you know, it's one that I think looks great. I know, like I said, we had, you know, we had a, an inspector come out who's, you know, familiar with all the weather type warranties, and the feedback from them was excellent. So, you know, it's one we're certainly, you know, we're certainly proud of. You know, and it's a, you know, it's a beautiful building, you know, on the campus over there, kind of, you know, right in the middle. So hopefully it's, you know, it's one that they look at, you know, for a number of years and kind of, you know, are happy with. And I think so far that's kind of been the case.
Absolutely. Well, any chance we could get some photos of that to link in the show notes?
That is on, yeah, that is on our plan. We have been, you know, notoriously bad, and I'll wear the responsibility for that one and kind of going out and taking pictures of stuff. But that is, we're doing another round of photography and videography, and that one is certainly on the list.
Absolutely. Well, that'd be great. Be sure and share it with us if you would, yep. And we'll link it in the show notes whenever we get those. And certainly if you ever need our help, you know, Nick sourcing a local guy with a drone or whatever, we're happy to participate in that if Kathy
I may take you up on that.
For sure. We'd love to do it. For sure.
Sounds good.
Well, anything else about the project we need to share with our listeners before we wrap up today?
I don't think so. I think that pretty much covers it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining the show and sharing about the project there. And as always, we appreciate your partnership. Thank you.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at www.mcelroymetal.com for more info and products. Until next time, keep building with metal.